sarcasm and nastiness gross. Yeah.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den. The show that is better than Old Fish.
Ew.
Yes. You could take that any way you'd like. Anyway. You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking on air. No colons tonight. Can't do that. We'll figure it out in a second. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. Not really joined by Pip Helix, but kind of joined by Pip Helix. Pip is on the Pip's on the hotline. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
Joe will be here shortly. I don't know exactly when, but soon, I would hope. On the show, a new School of Fools, where a professor is very happy about Barbara Bush's death, what you should never order in a restaurant, and fun with my scammer girlfriend, Jane. But
yay!
But alas, we had seen Pip once in a row, and that was enough. And as I posited at the end of last week's show, we'll see if we see her again. And Pip was all cocksure, just mocking me as I had my doubts. And sure enough.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Sure enough, we don't see Pip again. Why don't we see you now?
Yeah, my head is pounding.
Yeah, but you've done the show before with a headache.
I know.
You know
I
what?
Just,
the, you have the wrong attitude. Here's the thing. This show is your duty sex. That's what this show needs to be. You have a headache. Spread your legs. Show up. Get through it. Think of your happy place. This show is your duty sex.
Is this like... I call you my work husband, so this is my work wifely duty?
Well, not just to me, but it's like a whole orgy, your fans.
Yes, Oh my God. I'm exhausted from that. I'm doing everybody at the same time?
Well, I mean, yes, when you show up, that is the expectation. You will service our listeners.
Okay, so think of it as tonight I'm giving the listeners a handy.
I got to tell you, the listener's a little tired of the handy. We want full-fledged Pip, balls to the wall, grab your ankles, Helix. That's what we want.
I don't know if I feel like grabbing the ankles today.
But that would
be some extra throbbing and not in a good way.
Yeah, but that's why this is your duty sex. You know what? Sometimes you do something for your husband. Sometimes, you know what? You go, ooh, you're the best. Ooh, yeah, this is great. You know what? You bite your lip, you get through it. That's what you do. And you're not doing that. It's disappointing.
No, I'm sorry. You know what? Tonight, it's literally the, honey, I've got a headache.
Yeah, but we feel like we're getting too many headaches. And I got to tell you, we don't think it's us. We think it's you.
Yeah, well, you know what? Did you ever think that I'm stepping outside?
Doing other radio shows? The thoughts crossed my mind.
That's what it is. I'm exhausted from all my other phone-ins.
I don't know what you're doing. I mean, you've been with it. This could be the 7-year itch. We're going on 7 years. I don't know.
The 7-year itch. Yeah, are we going on 7 years?
Yeah, well, you officially joined the show in the fall of 2011. You know, it's when Joe and asked you aboard, and I brought Joe in the summer of 2011. So
good Lord, wow!
Yeah,
I think I've been married to the show longer than I've been married to Mr. Helix.
Talking to Mr. Helix, I got to tell you, neither one of us is happy.
I got a lot of work to do.
Well, you do, but I feel like you're phoning it in. I feel like only the cats get the best of you.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, well, I know they do.
Well,
they're happy.
Yeah, but
licking their little paws.
You know what? Our fans deserve better.
Yes, they do. All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to put some major wrist action into tonight's handy. How about that?
Well, that would be something. But you know what? Even the best hand job is not as good as donkey sex. It's just not.
Donkey sex? I don't know if I ever committed to that.
Well, there's been moments, the ass show, whenever you talk about your ass, we're like, wow, she's really into it. She's given us everything tonight. I've never experienced anything like that.
Yeah, I know. I don't think a lot of people have, and I'm not sure that they're happy about it.
No, they are. We feel like, say what you want about Pip in those moments. You go, she's giving us her all. She's really trying. We're going places we never thought we'd be able to go before. We're digging this. We love our Pip Helix. And now it's just like, she can't be bothered. Won't even lay there. Here's my favorite porn site. Go to Pornhub, pleasure yourself. I can't be bothered. I have a headache. That's how we feel.
Well, that tonight would have been more like giving it my all. Picture this. Some girl goes wild on you in bed, does every possible thing. You are over the moon. And then she pukes on you.
People pay for that.
That could have been it.
Yeah, but you know what? We've experienced many of your fluids. So it's kind of the gamble when you have Helix.
Oh, my God. We've experienced many of your fluids. That should be on a T-shirt.
Who says it's not?
Well, some of those fluids have been, but we won't talk about that right now.
Exactly. We because in a couple weeks, you're not going to be here. I already know in a couple weeks you're taking off. We got Sensei Ferdico. Russ will be coming in to play the part of Pip Helix.
He's a good boy.
What?
He's a good boy.
He is a good boy, and we love Russ. But again,
I know. I've been there when he's here.
Well, but you're not.
I know. Well, you know what? I have a day program obligation. I cannot get out.
That is an excused absence. But these unexcused absences, Tuesday Wynwood concerts, brothers losing body parts.
You will never get brothers losing body parts. Should be an excused absence.
That was an excused absence up until this bullshit today.
And now you're taking it back?
I am.
Ugh,
the marking period grades were not in yet.
Oh, I see. So what do I have to do for extra credit? Oh, I really am afraid.
What do you have to do for extra credit? I don't know. How about doing shit when you say you will? How about that?
Oh, well, you know what? I do get a lot of demerits this particular marking week. I get that.
Yeah. It's, now I know why you show up. Now I know why you show up to my shows. To butter me up. To make me feel good about you. And I do. And I get this euphoria. Like, oh, what a good friend. What a team player. But no. She's a conniving wench like most of them are. Because she knows some bad mojo's coming. That's what you're doing. You can't fool me anymore.
So what you think that, continuing with the theme, that I only blow you because I know that there's a big charge bill coming in?
Yeah, I do. I'm in the afterglow, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. But the problem is you wait too long.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So it has to be the day that I know that the email with the bill is coming in.
Yeah, like you should have like you saw me last Saturday, you should have disappointed me on Sunday, or like two Saturdays ago.
Well, there was nothing to disappoint you about on Sunday.
But you knew you had disappointment coming, so you wait too long to disappoint. So your disappointment, your disappointment stands on its own on an island, and the blowing is forgotten.
Well, I didn't know I had disappointment coming, so I couldn't plan.
Listen,
now you're just telling me that I have to be that conniving.
Listen, we should know that you have disappointments coming.
Oh yeah, no, that's a given. I'm me.
Yes.
So I should I'm getting it. So I have to stock up the Goodwill before the disappointment, but I have to not wait so long after the Goodwill for the disappointment.
Yes, you got it now.
All right, so I have to plan it within the afterglow period.
Yes.
How long is your afterglow period, by the way?
I don't know, Pip. At this point, I'm ready to see other radio hosts. I got to be honest with you. I'm a little tired of it. A little tired of it. Because you know what? Your blowjobs ain't that good. How do you like me now?
What? Yeah. No.
You know what?
No.
You know,
this,
sure.
I'll not stand.
You know what? Sure, you came to the show. It was a surprise. Sure, you brought people. It was very nice. But upon thinking about the dirty deeds that I've had done to me in that time period, you know what? Maybe you should have started a standing ovation. Maybe that's what you should have done. Because with all the disappointment that you've heaped on me since then, I kind of feel like you came up a little short.
You know what? If I was going to start a standing ovation right then and there, that I'm not that good of an actress.
Well, we'll find out because I'll be using you on Sunday. So we'll find out how good of an actress you are.
After this conversation, you had better explain how you're going to be using me.
No, after this, I feel like I need to get an understudy for a fucking sizzle reel.
Noted.
But here's the thing. I'm picking your ass up. And this will be the first time I've ever been to your house. So this is exciting, too.
Well, I don't know if we're going to get that close. I'm going to pick a mutually beneficial destination, and you'll pick me up there.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Why wouldn't I pick you up at your house?
You're not coming in.
I'm not going to do a fucking report on it, unless we feel we should. What do you mean I'm not coming? And why? Am I going to get crushed by an avalanche of flea market and garage sale goods?
Absolutely.
You're
I don't have an extra hard hat for you. You can't come in.
Are you? Wow. It has gotten that bad in your house?
Yeah, of course.
Wow. We are now at the point where we're in this relationship where I need to pull up and honk outside and Pip will scurry out. That's where we are.
Or my daddy's going to come with a shotgun.
Well, I'd like to fucking see that because he's a ghost. So.
Sounds like something else I've heard recently.
Yes. Wow. All right. So I am not allowed in your house.
No.
Here's what concerns me. You have brought baked treats in the past. Those baked treats come from your house. Now I'm wondering what the fuck is going on in your house. I think there shall no longer be baked goods from your house.
Do I look like I don't eat? The kitchen's fine.
So is there a door by the kitchen?
No.
You can't even come around back to Pip's house.
Yeah, no.
This is not normal.
I know that.
You know, I was only ever at Joe's house once and not the new house.
I know.
What do you guys live in?
I don't think we'll ever be allowed there. Pictures only.
Yeah. What do you guys, like, live in a fucking alley? What is wrong with you two?
Do we have all night for that?
Yeah, we're waiting for Joe.
You know what? Honest to God, I'm sorry. I just tried to eat a grape and talk at the same time.
That's all right. No, Joe likes to chew gum on the fucking air at the same time. Why should you guys know how to do radio after 7 years?
I know. you know, honest to God, I don't know what the basis of hoarding really is. I think it's just a search for security in stuff, but it doesn't actually work.
I understand that, but, I mean, we joke about the hoarding, but the fact that you will not let me in your house, the fact that you brought up, well, you got to meet me someplace else, makes me think that you have lost the battle.
Okay.
What's going on with your phone?
What do you mean what's going on with
my
phone?
It just cut out. All right, you're back. What'd you say? You've lost the battle?
The tide has turned.
Really?
Yeah.
I won't mock you. I won't mock you. Listen, I've kept your name a secret for 7 years. I mean, you know.
Thank you.
I won't mock you on the air if you ask me not to mock you.
Well, no. It's not.
No.
I'm laughing because I know that my life is absurd, but not because I think that, oh, yeah, well, I mean, it is a serious thing.
It is.
It's just something that I haven't gotten a hold of yet.
So you don't even entertain at your house?
No.
Okay.
We don't have any friends anyway.
That's not true, because I invite you over all the time and you always have plans.
Yeah, no, that's true. I was lying about that. That was a joke.
Yeah, well.
We do have friends, but they understand that there's something wrong with me, and we plan to go elsewhere.
We plan to go elsewhere. All right. So, well, I would say, you know, I'll just text you when I'm outside your door, but you don't pick up the fucking phone.
No, I do.
No, you don't.
Tucker Tom's in the chat, and he says, yeah, the hoarding mirth has turned on itself and is taking itself to the dumpster.
Funny. Hey, Trucker Tom, you might be in a pilot. Tucker Tom gets a mention in the pilot and in the latest rewrite.
Oh, yes, he does.
Strange. See, I
noticed that.
I take care. I take care of people.
I know. And I thought that because we haven't seen Trucker Tom recently, he is working a different shift and doesn't get home in time to listen to us as much as he used to. But I thought that you would think that he was buried under part of my hoard.
I got to tell you, you and Trucker Tom deserve each other because I'm not feeling the level of commitment I once did from either one of you. How do you like that?
Oh, man, that's harsh.
Yeah. I'm just saying, people need to raise their game to the level I'm playing at, because I am going full steam ahead, and I, you know what? It's ride or die. Let's go, people.
So, Tom, take note. You have to step it up as well.
Yeah.
And if you didn't hear the earlier part of the conversation, that might involve blowjobs.
It might. Well, I mean, I was listening to one of our scammer clips that that Joe sent us, although he did not send this week's on time. Another fucking disappointment. And Trucker Tom was actually referred to as, I brought it up for the first time, the historian of the show. And that was in 2014. But let's be honest, Trucker Tom has been MIA of late. And I know it's not because he's watching the Red Wings, because they didn't even make the playoffs. And I know it's not because he's watching the Tigers, because they're god-awful. So let's be honest, there's been a lot of disappointment I've had to deal with. Speaking of, Joe just walked in. Joe, have a seat, pal.
Wow, you should be saying disappointment about Joe. He's here early as fuck.
Well, I don't know if 18 minutes after the show starts is early as fuck, but we'll take it. Hello, Joe.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm tired.
I don't want to fucking hear it from you either. I don't want to hear it from... All right, you know what? I'm going to tell you my day, and then you can...
Yeah, it sounds like it stunk, to tell you the truth.
It didn't stunk, but... This is what my day is. I wake up early. First of all, I hurt my fucking back yesterday.
Like I pushed you. What the fuck?
You would have fucking
if you were here. He's a mental patient, isn't he?
Yes.
No, thank you.
Hey, I'm the one who fucking shows up, so.
But you live here.
Still. Yes. But you know what? If we did the show from Pip's house, we couldn't fucking do the show from Pip's house. We just established I can't even, I can barely pick her up next to her because she's doing something for me on Sunday. She's filming something, a sizzle reel that I'm shooting on Sunday. And I just found out I can't go into the house. So
go into the house.
Don't you get on your fucking high broken down horse, because let me break this shit down to you.
Like I'm starting to fight. I'm on your side, you asshole.
You won't be for long.
Let me just tell you, so this is the laugh I need today at your expense. But anyway,
Joe and Pip, two of my closest friends,
right?
Known them like 40 years combined.
Yeah, yeah,
a long fucking time.
We met in 98.
A long fucking time. I'm gonna give you the grand total of something here. How many times have I ever been to Pip's house? Goose egg. How many times have I ever been to Joe's house? One. And he doesn't even fucking have it anymore. As soon as he had me come over, he sold the bitch.
And then moved 30 miles east.
Yes, exactly. I haven't helped him decorate that stupid beach house in the middle of the fucking island. And no, there's no invite. So the two of you, 40 years, one fucking time at your house. I've been in Anthony's and seen a stupid dinosaur in the backyard more than I've been to your houses. So I fucking had it with the two of you.
Well, you know there's something wrong with both of us, don't you?
What?
You know there's something wrong with both of us, don't you?
Yes, but I've worked around it for so long.
My house is out of the way.
Yes, and you did that on purpose, which shows you how fucking stupid you are. I think it was a spite move. I think you moved 30 miles east just because you figured me and Pete would give up on it.
No, never mind. A woman is moving to Florida and practically giving a house away in a gated community and a ranch and three bedrooms. I put that all aside because it was a spite move to you.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. What don't you understand?
Your insanity. I'm not the one who spite moved.
Spite move. I welcome the two of you jabronis into my house every week. I invite you guys to see socially. Pip goes to me. She pulled the gonzo. You'll have to meet me in an undisclosed location. She wouldn't even let me pull up to her fucking house. I had to talk myself to that.
Look, we went to my house. The thing about me is I'm never home. That's why people are...
That's the best time to visit.
I know. Because people are telling me they want to see the new house. I'm never there. I let yourself in. I'm never there. You know my schedule. I'm never home. And when you came to my house, it was because we had to go to the airport and we had to park your car there and stuff like that.
Yeah, never a fucking social invite.
Because I never have a social invite with anybody.
You're miserable.
No, I'm antisocial.
What's her excuse?
Well, ask her. She's on the phone, stupid.
I did. She's playing the hoarding card.
Yeah.
Fucking the
so what are you going to her house for?
Because she's shooting a sizzle reel for me.
At the house?
No, I'm picking her up.
Okay.
It's down in Jersey.
Okay. What do you want, the grand tour? Get in the car. Get the shit. Get her. Get in the car.
No, it was her. I wasn't even asking for the grand tour. She's just like, at first she's like, well, you can't. I'll give you a location to pick me up. And that's what started.
Location? What do you got, Hatch? What are you doing?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's where this fucking started. I beat her down into giving me her fucking address.
Asshole.
Yes, she is.
I
bludgeoned her emotionally into giving me her address. It's probably some fucking neighbor's house, by the way. You know what? Pip's going to be outside 20 minutes early before the time
she's going to pull up by a mansion. Oh, I can't let you in. The decorators are doing that thing.
You know, Pip will be out there early, right, waiting just so I wouldn't possibly go to the door. Because, as I said before, I can't text her because she doesn't pick up the fucking phone. So it's going to be a clusterfuck.
Right.
So why am I exhausted? So anyway, I.
Oh, that's not it. There's more.
Yes.
Oh.
So yesterday we start a new workout program. I've been working.
Who's
out.
Who's we?
Me and the wife.
All right.
I've been working out since June.
I could tell.
Yeah, the improvement should be better.
With what, a roast beef?
That's part of the problem. I am in better shape though. I'm my core's more solid and everything. I've slimmed down. But yeah, after a year, you would think the results would be better. I get it.
You want to tell me to go fuck myself, but you can't.
No, I'm disappointed too. But listen, when you eat chocolate covered pretzels at 10 o'clock at night, the results are going to be negligible.
Or when you come back from the show and you're diabetic and you shouldn't have any sweetening things and you have fucking chocolate donuts on the way home to the island. Yeah.
Well, that's just a cry for help.
No, it's a cry for hungry.
Okay. So start. It's called 80-day obsession. All
right.
So we start this new program. I'm actually going to try to eat right on it. Right. Although so far 0-2 because I'm not home. Right. I'm never home, so it's hard to eat right. So one of the new exercises, so there's all these new exercises. You do this renegade row. Do you know what a plank is?
Yeah, it's a board.
And it's what you got named after. Thank you, stupid.
I don't know what a plank is.
What, Pip?
You mean a person planking?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah, Pip's seen people do it, stepped on their backs. You go on your elbows and your toes.
Right.
And you hold the position.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a plank.
Oh, okay.
Or you hold yourself up, like in a push-up.
Okay.
So on your toes. So what they call a renegade, you know what a row is, where you take the weight and you pull it up to your back.
Okay.
So now a renegade row is you're planking, you take and you row. So now you're on one hand. I've done that before.
Right.
But then they add this new thing where you like twist your torso and you kick out, and it was way too complicated. And obviously,
when did you start to do this move?
Yesterday.
When you just started to work out.
Started the new workout program.
But the new workout, when was the last time you worked out before that?
I've been working out.
You have been?
Yes.
Have you done a regular plank without that?
Yes.
Okay, so you're pretty much warmed up. It's not like you started this cold.
Right. The new thing was the twist. Like where you're like...
Wait a minute. If I'm understanding the maneuver that you're explaining correctly, that sounds like my next move would be face plant.
Yes. Very possible. So you do it, yeah.
Funny.
So you're planking, you're rowing, and you kick out your leg. So you're twisting your torso. You're trying to slim down your torso.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I hurt myself yesterday.
Okay.
So I was already in a fucking bad mood. So I go to the Yankee game, last night, and I, you know, I got seats for $6.50.
How'd you get that?
Wow.
They ran a special. They run so Yankees in April are fucking desperate to get you there.
Apparently, $6.50.
No, listen.
The beer's more expensive than the game.
The parking's more expensive. Absolutely. Everything's more expensive. Like, people say, oh, I can't afford
they're papering the stadium.
More or less. They're not giving it away for free, but more or less. When people say, I can't afford to go to a baseball game, you can. You just don't want to sit in shitty seats.
Right.
So I'm all the way in the upper. Like, I'm behind home plate, but, like, in the last row. Like, my pigeons are going, really? We got better seats.
I know. It must have been some fucking cold up there, huh?
Yeah, because they didn't seal in the walls. Uh-huh. So there's a fucking draft on the back of your fucking neck.
Nice in the summer. Not so much in April.
It was summer like yesterday. It was 70 degrees.
Yeah, well, that stops at sundown.
Apparently, yes. Yes. Apparently, yes. So I was freezing my stupid ass off.
Yeah, because you wore shorts, you asshole.
Well, yes, I did.
Yeah.
I wore shorts. Yes, I did.
He wore shorts.
Oh, that's a real rookie move for an April game.
Sorry, I should have come by your house and tried to rummage through some fucking pants.
You would have maybe have found some as beaten wearing no shorts.
I would never gotten through the front fucking door.
All right.
So yeah, I wore shorts.
I would have barred that.
What?
I would have barred that.
Barred that?
Barred wearing
shorts. Barred the door.
Oh, barred the door so he can't get in. Mm.
Right. Anyway,
I just read the line. Don't write. I didn't write the fucking.
No,
thing.
It's hard. It's all hard. So it's a late night.
Yeah.
Good ball game. They wound up winning 14-1.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We didn't
stay
for the whole. We left when it was 8-1. Then the Yankees.
Yeah. Well, you could do that with the Yankees. The Mets, you got to stick around.
Nah, they wouldn't. The Mets are fine so far. Mets are fine so far. So I get home late at night. So wake up today early because I got to get out early. Wake up to an hour of ass exercises again.
And then you worked out with the weights.
There you go. All right, I'll give you that one. That one, sure. You want to make that sure that sphincter's tight?
Funny.
That sounds right up my alley.
You know what? You should consider these ass exercises. Yeah. The doctors would appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah. So I do an hour of exercises for the glutes,
right.
Which actually was not that hard. It didn't feel that hard. So then I got to rush out the door. I got to drive an hour to Jersey to write the pilot, loosely based on Joe, with Chip. 3 hours for that. So I sent Joe the Chip and I have added about 9-10 pages of
and did a very good job too.
You like it?
I like it a lot. Yeah, it's very good.
So we're trying to flesh out the characters more, give them more depth.
Yeah,
I told Trucker Tommy got a little mention in there, at least in this version of it. So we do that. And then I come back here. So I write for 3 hours. Then I drive back an hour. Then I got to prepare for the radio show. Then Pip tells me she's got a headache and she's not coming.
Right.
And I'm just tired. Because after this show, I got another meeting for the show that I'm shooting on Sunday, which Pip is going to help me with. I got that meeting. Then I got to edit. So it's just a long fucking day.
Look, I run the same days.
I understand.
And then to rehearsal, that's what we do. But some days, some days are long, long fucking days, dude. You know?
I'm fine. Just a little support. And maybe, hey, why don't you come into the house for some lemonade and cookies? Maybe that would be nice on a Sunday morning.
Lemonade and cookies? Who are you, Mary fucking Poppins? What are you? Just get in the car and go do the shoot.
She's lovely.
Yeah.
I'd love to be Mary Poppins. Yeah, she's floating around in an umbrella. The kids are well behaved. She's got, you know, a young Dick Van Dyke. Why? Who wouldn't want to be Mary Poppins? Fuck you. Well, Mary Poppins is great.
You know, I'll go to hell just for the simple reason. I would love, especially after I take a good piss. You know, like, the hills are alive because I've exhumed urine. You ever feel that way? You want to dance around a mountaintop?
No. And we're talking about a different show that she did. Well, she didn't say do the hills are
We're definitely not dancing around on a mountain covered in piss. What the hell? What kind of fairy tale are you spinning?
And this is
yellow one.
And this is what happens when Joe shows up fairly early. It all turns to urine. Why are you here early? What's going on with you?
Well, I got jury duty. And I get out. Jury duty. It's living hell.
It's living hell.
Let me tell you something. I didn't realize that it's for a month. I have to go to this jury, grand jury duty.
That's a big one.
A month. I didn't realize that. So they get.
But I told you, play them the CD of the radio show. You're out.
Oh, no, no.
You're despicable. Nobody would want you on a jury.
Because it's a grand jury. It's not a trial jury.
So what's that mean?
A difference between a grand what a grand jury does is they come into court. The prosecutor comes into the courtroom, and he presents evidence on a case. And as the grand jury sits there, the grand jury decides if there's enough evidence to indict. And that's the judge. There's no guilty or not guilty. We just sit there and we find out if there's enough evidence to make the indictment on
and
that.
I was a month, so this must have been like serious stuff.
Well, we did our first. We sat around and did nothing today. We sat there, nothing. We didn't have a case. Yesterday, we got in there, and then they bring you in. We had our first case at 2 o'clock. Can't go into details because it's court, but it was pretty,
nobody's listening.
It was pretty heavy duty. Pretty heavy
Michael
duty
Cohen,
stuff.
Isn't it?
No.
It's Michael Cohen.
No, it's not.
He's going down.
No.
He's going down.
No. But, it was a heavy-duty thing. Now, however, I didn't realize I'm going to be there a month. I thought I was going to be there maybe a week or so. So I got to find out if the day program is going to pay me for a month off. They'll do maybe 2 weeks. So I got to.
So you're still going. You're part of the jury.
Yeah.
Only idiots are part of the jury.
No. What happens is when you go, it's part of a lottery system. Now, what happens is they have to pick 96 people.
Right.
Okay.
Out of how many?
Out of maybe about 120.
I wouldn't pick you.
But the problem is that only like 96, exactly 96 showed up. So they picked everyone.
Oh, how do you? You have to show up.
You have to show up, yeah.
So how'd the other people not show up?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they defer. I don't know. I don't know what the thing is. But there was no.
So as despicable as you are, they're still giving you this position of responsibility.
Yeah,
I have even less faith in our courts now.
Right, but So I went there yesterday, and it's like, all right, you got to come back tomorrow. Now I had to run to the day program at 6 o'clock this morning and try to get about 2.5 hours of work done because I know who knows I might not be in. I might go in on Thursday, and now I got to see if the day program could write me a note telling the court that I'm only going to be there, you know, that they're only going to pay me for 2 weeks, and I'm a specialist on the product line I rep, and if I could try
tell
to get
me
out
Blue
of
Hawk.
There, yeah, well, Bacar, but but the woman said, well, we'll see, we don't know what we can do, you know.
The woman where?
The woman at the court. The woman at the court.
Well, yeah, because nobody wants to be there for a month,
you know. And she, you know, and then she told me, well, why didn't you say anything yesterday? Because I didn't know it was going to be a month here, you know.
That's excessive.
Yeah.
I mean, really, when you have a jury for that long, you really need people that are unemployed.
Yeah.
And have no attachments, have no kids.
And everybody's employed. And the funny thing is, I'm antisocial. There's 26 people in there. I haven't said a word to anybody. I just sit there and I go through what I need to go through, you know.
I can't believe they fucking had to take you. I mean, seriously. Do you need me to talk to them? Because I'll just make some cuts of the awful things you've said.
Any port in a storm. Get on the phone, stupid. Get me out of there. I can't take it there. You get there.
The thigh story alone.
I tweeted and posted what happened today. You go up one floor. You take an elevator and you go up to the sixth floor. You get out at the sixth floor and you get buzzed in. So I get to the door and I buzz in and they go, what elevator did you come up to? I go, I took the second floor up to this one. You have to go back downstairs. And they go to the fifth floor and come up to the elevator. I go, but it's the same door. You have to go downstairs and take the other elevator and come up that way. And
Wait a minute. So the destination is the
it's the same fucking door.
Good God.
I go, am I going to court or a fucking frat house? I go, why don't you just let me in and we'll call it a fucking day? What is this shit?
Like you're being punked.
It's like I'm being punished. I don't want to be here. I don't want
to
be here.
But that makes no sense. What like members of the jury, if you go through the right elevator, get a blowjob, and it puts you in a better frame of mind, and that's how you have to arrive at the door?
Apparently.
That's ridiculous.
Apparently. And the thing about it is that the court is in Riverhead. Riverhead, to give you an example, my house is like in almost Middle Island. It's called Middle Island. The court.
How creative.
Yeah. The courthouse is in Riverhead, which is 20 miles from my...
Is it at the head of a river?
We're very straightforward where we name stuff.
Apparently. Not a lot of artists coming out of Long Island.
Right.
Blood people.
But, yeah, so the Riverhead is 20 miles east of where I live.
Good God, I thought that was Ocean 20 miles east of where you live.
It almost is. But the thing about it is, if I'm coming home, like on yesterday... I had nowhere to go last night, so I had to run some errands and stuff like that.
No, you could have done the clips. Could have done the clips.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to do the clips because I had to take care of some other stuff.
This must have been a Joe's Girl emergency.
No, but anyway, so you know, I was able to get home. But if I live out there, but I don't go right home. So I had it took me 3.5 hours to get here tonight. All right. Tomorrow I have to go back to the day program because I'm doing something for I take a defensive driving class. Thursday.
Wait, you're doing what now?
I got to take a defensive driving class to get the points off on my
this is a story too. We did not know this.
Yeah, oh. It's a three-hour class.
No, but we didn't know that you had to take that class.
You take it to get a discount on your insurance.
I understand, but we didn't know that you had a lot of points on your insurance.
No, I don't.
Then why are you taking the class?
Why?
Just to get a discount. Yeah. You get a discount. It's not reducing points. I have no points on my license.
The point is you wait for it when you have fucking points.
No, you wait for it too because you get a discount regardless if you have points or not on your license. You get a discount if you have the 3 hours.
Yeah, but you can only take it once. That's why you wait for the points.
No, you don't take it once. You take it once every 3 years. I'm up to take it again.
Okay.
So you take the 3-hour class.
Never heard of this.
Right. So I got to drive back, and it's at the day program. So I have to drive from Riverhead 40 miles back to work. And then I have to go out to Riverhead, and on Thursday I have rehearsal with Fragile Sky, which is in Closter, New Jersey.
I thought you wanted to do a meeting on Thursday. You want to have a break?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I stand corrected. All right, never mind. But the meeting, our meeting, if that meeting goes, is about 10 minutes from where we rehearse. We have to go on Friday. So I'm driving from Riverhead tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. So it's a
brutal.
It's a lot of driving. So I'm trying to get out. And this is another 3 weeks of this shit. And thank God my calendar is not my May calendar wise. There's not a lot going on. So
yeah, how convenient if everybody decided not to hire you. Really worked out well.
Apparently this month it did. You know, but. You know, so it's
that's fucking. But well. I've never served on a jury.
Well, let me tell you something. And you just sit there, and it's bore. I mean, it's you sit around. You're like waiting for
a book.
Well, I waited for the case, but I actually logged clips today. I went over the script.
You know what you should do to get yourself out of that sitting there? You should aggressively watch pornography, like on your phone. That's what you should do. Like, fuck loud, get into it, root him on. Like, really make a spectacle. I'm not saying pull your...
Root him on!
Sure.
Slap that ass!
Yeah, maybe watch Stormy Daniels use all your aggression towards her again. Look at this bitch! She can't even act! Who does she think she is?
Watch.
Yeah, like I'm not saying jerk off, because that could get you in trouble. But I'm saying you should make a spectacle of yourself where the other jurors... I say, we can't have this. We can't have this. We need to send him away.
Aggressively watch porn.
I'm here to help you guys.
I'll be sitting there tomorrow trying not to laugh because everyone's going to be sad. So I'm gonna aggressively watch porn.
Yes.
That's hysterical.
That's what you should do. Nobody wants that guy around.
No.
So, yes, aggressively watch.
No.
There's like an old woman sitting next to you. Make sure you sit next to an old woman. You lean over. Can you get a load of this? You show
her. I'd like to be plotting the ass like this, Nana.
Yes. Yes. I'll tell you, I never found a woman who could take it this good, and I tried.
Yeah. Look at that. It's like trying to fuck a canyon.
Or go to the African-American woman. Do all black ladies fuck like this? Yes! Aggressively watch porn.
Oh, that's hysterical.
I'm here to help.
Yeah. Wait, do you need to be, like, on the right side of the jury box in this particular place?
Yes! I'm trying to get you out of it. Because the other jurors go, listen, we can't have this. He's a disruption. And even the attorneys will be like, all right, this guy's got problems. And they'll probably give you a nice recommendation for a therapist. And, you know, which will be nice. We know you don't need one. You're perfectly sane. Huddle, huddle, oh. But yes, they'll try to. This is a cry foul. You will not have done anything criminal. You are just a man with too much time on your hands, and you don't know how to behave and interact with other people. That's all this is. You've done nothing wrong. And they'll talk to you, Mr. Curry, can you knock it off? And you'll be like, what? What? Why?
What? Don't you ever see big tits bobbing around like two buoys in a storm?
Mind your own business. We're not before the judge.
Yeah.
I know how to behave properly.
Judge ye or ye shall be judged.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I'm just helping you.
Oh, good.
I feel like you and Pip don't take advantage of the services I provide for free. I got to tell you.
You're quite the resource.
Yeah.
I am.
Did you see resource or retard?
I said resource.
Gotcha.
Was it that funny? Was it really?
It's a joke at your expense.
Thank you for the translation. Apparently, you think our audience are morons. Here's the difference between our audience and you. They don't wind up on a jury for a month, you asshole.
Oh, I can't wait till this point in time. So what are we doing with the show? I don't know. I got grand jury duty.
Never. No court will have me. I know how to get away.
Hey, listen to me. I got away with it. I have been off a jury for 12 years. Actually, yeah, about 11 years. I haven't been called in.
I've never served.
Really?
I got called in once. But, you know, a lot of times they just don't get to your number. It's rough if it's
a trial jury. They don't. They'll keep you for the day or they'll have you call in. Grand jury duty is something else. They call you in and you're going. You know, if you're able-bodied and able to serve, you're going.
I blame Trump. I blame Trump for this.
Why?
You didn't have 12 years. You didn't have it under Obama. You didn't have it under Bush. This is clearly Trump. It speaks for itself. I'm having problems with the IRS. I never had it under Clinton. I never had it under W. Never had it under Obama. Orange Jesus rolls into town. Shit's going wrong.
You having a problem with the IRS?
I am.
Really?
Yeah, they're assholes.
Really?
And I'm dealing with them because I'm in the right. Or, yes, I'm in the right.
Okay.
So, yeah.
The show will be now featured at Leavenworth.
Fine.
Yeah, really. That's what I'm afraid of.
But we were scot-free until Orange Jesus rolled into town. And I got another thing. Well, I didn't know if I was going to talk about this or not. But as long
apparently,
as I got
we're going to.
Sounds like we are.
Joe,
you can defend this if you want, but then you'll be revealed as an anti-Semite. I am fucking sick of Donald Trump and his anti-Semitic ways, and I will tell you what he did now. You guys know who Chuck Todd is?
I tried to look him up to see if his eyes actually look like that.
Well, he's not a fucking dwarf, stupid. He doesn't get named after one of the, he looks sleepy, he looks dopey. You don't get to do that, Joe. You don't, especially if you're the president of the United States. That's not what we get to do because we're assholes for a purpose. Nobody's really counting on us.
Right.
No.
So, all right, so you know where I'm going with this. So Chuck Todd is the host of NBC's Meet the Press, also has a show on MSNBC every day. So Donald Trump is in the habit, and he's been doing it for quite some time now, of calling him Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd.
Right.
He doesn't look sleepy. His eyes look fine to me, but whatever. Do they look weird to you?
I didn't get a chance to look at it because the script came in and I had to review it.
Okay,
well, I was actually looking at it. I'm like, oh, the script's in. Let me do this now.
All right. That's what you see. It's either that or aggressively watch porn.
No, because I was about to battle with JJ over and I go, let me take a, oh, the script's
no,
in.
JJ's,
all right.
JJ's right on this one. So he calls him Sleepy Eyes. Sleepy Eyes.
I don't get that.
Well, I shall explain. Apparently,
okay.
Sleepy Eyes was a term that the Nazis used, a description of Jews. Not as popular as big nose or curly hair. Not as popular as that. But Sleepy Eyes was another way that the Nazis told you could identify Jewish people. Chuck Todd is Jewish. Donald Trump has repeatedly called him Sleepy Eye Chuck Todd. So fuck you, Donald Trump. You're not fit for this goddamn office. I've had enough. It's not the first time, because remember when he was campaigning and his campaign put out that Nazi star with Hillary Clinton and the money? Remember that one? And Joe was in the position of defending. Well, maybe he didn't know. And well, since that time, we've had some of them are good people with the fucking Nazis. And now this. So fuck Donald Trump. I've had it.
Yeah.
He's clearly talking to the worst of his base. I'm not saying all of his base, but clearly the worst elements of his base with this bullshit. And as a nation, it's not even about politics. Forget about his politics. I've had it. He's a despicable human being. We deserve better. That's why I say I'll take fucking Mike Pence. Mike Pence would probably get a lot more accomplished than I wouldn't like. But at least we wouldn't be assaulted with this shit. So there.
I can't believe that's what that term means. That's egregious.
And you know what? And if you could say, well, he doesn't know what it means, that's just as bad either. Because you know what? Stop name calling
people. I never knew what that was.
Well, we're not the president, and you never called anybody that. You never called anybody.
I haven't heard that term until today. I never heard that
term.
No,
he's called it to him for a couple of years now.
Well, to him, but I don't think he meant it as an anti-Semitic term.
You know what? If it was one time, you go, maybe. And you would apologize. You would go, oh, I didn't. If you didn't know, you go, I didn't realize that this was, insensitive. I didn't mean to do anything anti-Semitic. You would apologize for that. He's not going to apologize.
No, because
he's despicable and he's calling to the worst elements of his base. And I've just had it. There's too much.
I didn't hire him to be the Easter Bunny. I hired him to lower my taxes, deal with our enemies.
No, he's more than that, though. He's the president of the United States. He represents all of us. Every president, whether you like their politics or don't, and I did not like W's politics, he represented us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you thought of. That's what I'm saying. Like, forget about his policies, Trump's policies, which I don't agree with. I'm just tired of being represented by somebody this bad to the core as a human being. I'm just tired. I'm fatigued of that element. So I'm not going to have a policy argument with you about anything like that. But we brought up Trump. I've just had it. He's despicable. He's just a reprehensible human being.
Of course he is.
I can't argue with that.
Well, of course.
Well, all right. Sometimes Joe throws me a curveball, and I just watch it, and the knees buckle, and I get called out on strike three. What?
He's not a honey bunch. He's an egomaniac.
Yes, but this is beyond ego. They're all egomaniacs to some extent to think that they could run the free world. You have to be a bit of an egomaniac to think you could do that.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about that. So Trump being an egomaniac, though he takes it to the next extreme, I can't even fault him for, because they all think they can do that.
Right.
This goes beyond that. This is just despicable. It's reprehensible. I don't know why the press isn't talking about it more. But I've just, I give him the benefit of the doubt when he does good things. And if he does something with North Korea and they, denuclearize, I'll give him kudos for that. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But if he does it, kudos to it. He accomplished something nobody else did. He solved the problem nobody else did.
Right.
But we're not there yet. And either way, I've had enough.
Right.
I've had enough with playing to the fucking white supremacists, the Nazis. I've had enough. And you, as a Trump supporter, you should fucking tweet him and go, listen, I support you. I don't support this. You're making us all – you're making Hillary Clinton look right by calling us deplorables when you're doing stuff like this. Don't do it. That's what – the base needs to push back at him and go, enough of this. We don't want it. That's the only thing that will make this maniac listen.
Well, Trunker Tom's in the chat, and he says that's the entire argument. He says mean things.
No, it's representing us. It's like I'm tired of being represented.
You want to know something, though? So many times Obama and would be out with his policies that I disagreed
I'm
with.
I'm not talking about policies. I'm not talking
about
Trump's policies.
But I'm just saying so many times Obama would come out and go, this isn't who we are. You know what? It's who I am.
You don't say terms like that.
I don't say terms like that.
Are you anti-Semitic?
No, I'm not. But if I see somebody that looks like they're tired all the time, I might call them sleepy eyes, not realizing that's an anti-Semitic term.
And you're a comedian. You're not a plumber. And I'll tell you what, at a comedy club, there's a good chance you get fired for it if somebody complained. If somebody complained, go, Joe, you just called that audience member sleepy eyes. That's an anti-Semitic thing. I can't have you back.
Well, I came under fire when I posted on Facebook. They had a picture of Obama. And I forgot what it was. It was at Barbara Bush's funeral. And it was a caption. I forgot what it was.
It was the only time I've seen Melania smile in years. Did you see when they posed?
Yeah.
Where they had all the presidents and the first. And by the way, I didn't go out against Donald Trump for not showing up, because a lot of presidents don't show up for the first ladies.
Right, I didn't
go after him for that. Although we could have done without the tweet storm against a journalist as they're fucking burying Barbara Bush. We could have done without that, but whatever. What are you looking for? Your awful tweet? Is that where we are on the show? Joe wants to show how awful he is. Joe, I don't think you have to do that. You have 3 hours. You have a forum for that.
Yeah, I'll find it. That's not coming. There's no service.
Facebook and Twitter said we can't stand by this. No, but listen. Listen, we all have been exposed to awful people who say awful things. That's fine. And we say that.
Three of them right now.
Right. But they're not representing a nation. They're not representing all of us. You know, people lose their jobs, and we're going to get to a story where maybe somebody will lose their job about saying something awful that doesn't represent everybody. I've just, like I said, just me personally, I've had enough with it. It has nothing to do with his policies, which I could argue about for hours, but I don't feel like it. It's just this dancing to this kowtowing to the worst elements of our society, winking and nodding at them. I've had it. And you can't say, well, he didn't know, because it just it happens too much. It happens too much with this guy.
It does happen too much. I do think that with any other president, if they were going to come out and say something like that, someone in their cabinet or someone that's supposed to, advise them would say, you know what that means, don't you? But he doesn't listen to anybody.
No. No. He doesn't.
You know?
Listen, like I said, it's just my personal thing. I've just had it with this. I'm tired of being represented by somebody like that. And like I said, it's not the policy. No, Joe, we didn't elect him to be a honey bunch. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there could be decency. I mean,
You know what, though? Sometimes when the press, 90% of the press is after you every day, day in and day out, sometimes, you fight back.
You can fight back. I'm not saying do I agree with what he says about the press most of the time? No, but I'm not saying you can't fight back.
Right.
I never said, he should just shut up and keep going forward like a lot of presidents do. No, I'm saying don't fucking say anti-Semitic shit. That's all I'm saying. That's is that too much? Is that, Joe, are we arguing about this? Is this with the show? I'm just saying don't be an anti-Semite. Don't say anti-Semitic shit. Don't play to the white supremacists.
I never heard the term sleepy eye before.
I've heard him call Chuck Todd that. I did not know the meaning of it. But then again, you were not the president of the United States.
All right. And even if you're the president of the United States, if you don't know a meaning of something, you don't know the meaning.
There's a lot of things he doesn't know the meaning of.
I understand it, but if he's sleepy eye, and he looks like I said, I haven't seen a picture of the guy because I was about to look at it. And
look him up on your phone.
I can't get a service.
All right, I'll look him up. But Joe, if it was one thing, if this was the first thing, I wouldn't even bring it up. I really wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't care. But it's too much now. But that's just me.
That's his body of work.
Yes. Yes. If you had that body of work at your plumbing company, where you would posting these dog whistles to white supremacists on your social media, and one of your bosses caught it, that could be the end of you.
What do you mean the dog whistle?
Well, that's what this like when it's like it's something that you play that your bait that your white supremacists would know you're talking to them. That might
so you
them.
Think that he is specifically speaking to white supremacists?
I do now. Yes, I do now. I think that's specifically to just because of the body of work. Just because of his body, like I said, if it was a one-time thing, go well. That was stupid, and you would hope he would apologize,
mm-hmm.
But it's a body of work, so I can't. So, like I'm saying,
I don't really think that he's pandering to that.
There's no indication he's not. There's no indication he's not. He's already stuck up for the white supremacists. He gave him the benefit of the doubt.
White supremacists where?
I assume some. Like I said, real quick, and then we'll move on because I don't want to get this whole fucking Trump thing. During the campaign, he put out the Hillary Clinton. What was it, Pip? Was it a meme? Was it a tweet?
I'm not sure which one it was. I think it was a tweet.
Anyway, it was a star that the Jews had to wear in the ghettos during World War II, and had a money thing, and it had to do with Hillary Clinton. There was that. There was Charlottesville. The way he handled that.
All right, on the whole thing with the star, was it Star David?
It's not a Star David.
What was it?
The star that the Jews were made to be identified in the ghettos during the Holocaust.
That I think was a stupid mistake by some of his press people on doing that. Okay, now in the whole thing with Charlottesville, he said that there were some good people out there. What he was talking about were the people that were protesting, the regular people. I'm saying is, hear me out. The regular people that were protesting against the removal of the statues.
But none of those people were out there in Charlottesville. None of those people were there.
There were some.
None there in were Charlottesville. Some. Other places, yes. None in Charlottesville. They didn't want any part of that. The only ones were the cargo pants neo-Nazis. Those were the only ones in Charlottesville. And remember, they killed.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. And they killed.
How are you positive?
All right. Well, I wasn't there. But there's been no reports that anybody else was there.
But there wasn't any reports that people weren't, that they weren't there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the media's reported. And again, are you going to trust the media in this case? Yes.
There were a handful of people
the
there
way I understand,
that were protesting, just a handful of people that were protesting the removal of the statues that did not have anything to do with
Well, nobody
with
reported
the
that, not even Fox News. So, and if anybody was going to
during report, the chaos of that, maybe not there. But
So anyway, sorry. So you got the star, you got Charlottesville, you got this, you got him retweeting white supremacist group from England because they made up some bullshit about Muslims and everything. You had Trump retweeting that.
Now the only thing with the Muslims, if you go and people that have been to England have shown, and people I know personally have gone to England and said it's being overrun by Muslims.
That's not what this was about. The point was the tweet was the meme was wrong, was incorrect what they stated in it, and the point was he retweeted a white supremacist group in England.
Right.
So that's just off the top of my head. Right. That's just four. What I'm telling you is I'm at the point I'm done with it was a mistake, it was stupid. What I'm telling you, as somebody who's a quote unquote minority and who's not very sensitive to, I'm not one who's quick to call anti-Semitism and stuff like that, who does let a lot of things roll off his back. I'm telling you, I, Davin Rosema, have had enough of it. That's just me.
Okay.
That's just me.
It's your opinion. Yeah.
Thank you. And I really feel that the base should push back on him. Not the white supremacist base. They love it. But there's more to his base than white supremacists, I'm assuming.
Right.
And those people need to push back because he won't change otherwise. That's just my opinion on it. All right. I was going to talk about some comedy shit and an interesting conversation I had, but I'm not going to do that.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Why?
What? What were you looking forward to?
Talk about what you were going to talk to. You just
teased it. It's 7:30, dude. I got to take a break.
Really?
Yeah, time flies when we're bullshitting. That's how this show works, Joe. You new here? So I'm going to play. Why? What do you want to? I mean, because
the story sounded interesting.
Which story?
The one you the tease you just did.
No, we're going to talk about Barbara Bush, that thing.
I know the show prep, but the other stuff that you were bringing up.
I'll bring it up next week.
All right.
It's just about, because I did four shows in the city on Wednesday.
Okay.
Four very different shows.
It seems interesting. We're here. Discuss it.
I know, but I got to get out of here on time. Fine. I'm going to do it quickly. Pip, do you want me to discuss it or you want me to wait another week?
I want you to discuss it.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers.
Come on. Why?
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. Just because you showed up reasonably on time.
I'm sorry. I'm taking interest in something that affected you.
Look, we'll take
Well, don't say it like that. You make me sound like the asshole.
There's my point.
God damn it. Don't you have traffic to sit in?
I've sat in all of it. I'm here now.
Stupid. All right. So last week I had four shows in New York City in one night. Plenty of comics, you know, they do this all the
right,
time.
Right.
I'm not one of those guys anymore.
Oh, that runs, that does 10, 10, 10, and 10, run from club to club.
Yeah,
to club?
Runs from club to club. I used to do like five or six in one.
Right. Yes, that's what you do, yes.
I don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a grind. So the first show was a comedy mic. It was the side room of a busy bar where the music from the main room was loudly bleeding in.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
there,
God.
Yes, Pip, yes. There might have even been speakers in that side room. That's how loud it was. So I got there after the show started. I told my friend who was running it I would be late, and she was cool about it because I had another spot at a club right afterwards. So she asked another comedian to let me go on before them. The other comedian graciously did. Thing is, this show, there's no audience. It's all comedians.
How much time are you doing?
Well, like 10.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
10 drags. 10 can drag.
Most certainly can, yeah. Yes. You never know. You're like, well, I got to be at 8.
Yeah. High 3.5. Is that what you said?
Right?
I think we're done here.
I think we've gone back in time. You ever had those nights?
Yes. Regularly. So it's just other comedians. They're newer comedians. Comedians I didn't know.
Right.
And I'm performing. But you know this, Joe. Performing in front of just comedians sucks.
It sucks. It blows. They're not going to laugh.
Especially comics you don't know. At least if it's comics you do know, you can kind of workshop a joke.
Right. And you go up, how do it sounded good, man. Yeah, well, how'd that thing go? What you think on that? You can bullshit with a guy, and they'll tell,
Yeah. Right. But you can't really do that with comics.
You don't know them. No, yeah, you don't know. And the quick thing about a comic is if a comic works with another comic, you go, hey, how's it going, man? Hey, how you doing? And then you do your set, and it's a weird thing. Until you get done with seeing each other's sets, if you knew guys, then you go, hey, nice job, let's go have a drink. There's this one thing, if you don't know the other comic, you kind of have to prove yourself to them.
Yeah, there's
and
that.
Then everything softens up. Very weird thing.
Plus, comics don't laugh at shit that regular people laugh at.
Right.
So I was brought up by the woman whose show it is. She offered me the spot. She introed me as the person who gave her first paid work.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's nice that she remembers and appreciates it. It's just not
But
the
it just sounds like you're some booker with no talent.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and you do, and you do, you're doing a charity spot.
She's giving me a charity spot.
You, it sounds like you're getting a charity spot.
Right. I'd rather have.
And like I said,
I didn't get that.
And the funny thing is, when
Canadians
I was
would.
When Anthony had the Opie and Anthony, I'm sorry, the Anthony Cumia show comedy show last year, Aaron Berg was there. I never met Aaron before, and he comes up to me and he goes, "What could I say?" I go, "Yeah, just tell him I'm one of Ant's good friends and stuff like that." And he walked away, and I go, "He probably thinks it's," and it's like I'm saying, comics, you know, they don't know each other, and he probably goes, "Oh my God, he probably thinks I'm a charity spot." I went up, I had a great set, and then back at the house, we're bullshitting about all sorts of things. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of the way it works sometimes.
So it's not the way I want it to be brought up. But anyway, I really want to work on a few new things. Most of the jokes I'm telling get like one person to laugh, and the people are varied.
Now, let me ask you a question. When you're doing that, you want to work on new stuff. Do you feel that you should work on new stuff? Do you feel that, you know, there's people that don't really know you, you should do tried and true, or should you do a little bit of both?
Well, I'm there for me. So I want to work on new stuff, especially because there's no audience, so there's no obligation. I don't
right.
give it. I should not give a shit about whether comics laugh or not. I should not give a shit. But we all have that ego. So the new is going, So then I throw in some stuff that always works, which I wouldn't, you know, because
I know what you're saying.
Because
yeah.
I just want to test. Yeah. Okay, this shit always works. Is it me or is it them? Is it the new shit or is it that they stink? And you do the stuff that always works. And it doesn't get a reaction. So now it's just like, fuck.
Well, then at that point, you're going, if you're five out of that 10, and you're going, all right, this is the way it is. All right, we're going to workshop. We'll do five. All right, you know what? Fuck you all. We're going to workshop now for the next five. And that's what you do. You walk out and you go, all right, it's that room. I did do another new shit in the last five. You know, it is what it is.
I mean, a comic that I knew walked in and I start playing to him a little bit, which you start playing to your pal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm addressing the situation. I'm getting a laugh here. But let's put it this way. And this is what a lot of New York comics do all the time. This is their show.
Yes, yes,
they're
it is.
They're performing just in front of other comics.
Yes.
I came up and Pip came up with me and Joe came up parallel to me. But Pip and I came up in Jersey and Joe came up in Long Island. And there was bar audiences who are not the best audiences.
We did bar audiences. We did coffee houses. You know, when we started, we did coffee house. There was a coffee house, a couple of coffee houses that we did where it was a bunch of good artists. We had the comics. We had poets and we had musicians. You know, and everybody was.
But there was real people there.
There was real people there because you had parents and kids and, you know, grandparents and stuff like that, which was a good field to test to write.
If I had to come up just working in front of other comics in the city, I would quit, and I sure as hell would not get any better because you never know what would work.
Right, and then they come out to the island, and they look like deer in the headlights sometimes.
Right. So the next show was at the Greenwich Village Comedy Club. I performed there a few times, but not regularly. And the person who hired me actually saw me at the West Side Comedy Club a few weeks ago. So I went there. I wanted to do pretty well. I wasn't going to do a lot of new stuff.
Ten spot? Ten spot?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think it was like, yeah, I think it was 10. So I tried like one new joke. It was a small crowd. They were the type of crowd that was in and out on jokes, but so you had to stay on them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the set was fun. I had some moments. I ended strongly. You know, when I was newer in the city, I wasn't thrilled with the set. I would question whether I picked the wrong material. I don't do that now because I know the material.
And from the way you talked about the set, it was, you know, for the city, it's fine. Right.
It was fine. The comic who booked me was not in the room, but outside I spoke to another comic who went on after me. He offered me spots on a Friday night in a club in the city.
Okay.
I just don't usually come into the city on the weekends. But so, yeah. And then the comic who hired me offered me, you know, said, yeah, we'll get you back here. So it went well. So that was
productive. That's fine. Okay. Yeah. It sounded like it did.
So so all right. So, you know, this is the way the night is.
Right.
The third show was at a youth hostel.
Uh-oh. That was the one that I was worried about.
What?
Yeah, I think when you mentioned that, you were all like, oh, boy.
Yeah, no, as well you should be. Yeah, the reaction of uh-oh was proper. I had done it before. I did it once before. So I knew what I was going into. But when I did it, it was all college-age kids from around the world, many of which did not understand English. So I knew it was going to be hard. So I have guy who books.
Do you know it's going to be hard, not for that, but you're getting older and the comedy has changed. Or we have to face facts that the younger version, you know, the younger comics, their comedy is a little different than ours.
That's true. I don't think – Pip would probably be a better way to assess it than I or even you could. I don't think of myself as an old or new style comic. I just think – like because I tend to talk about things that are going on now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Pip, am I wrong? Do I sound – is my stuff getting – do I sound like I have an old style of delivery?
You know what? I thank you for thinking that I would know the difference. But the thing is that I'm so friggin' old at this point. I have trouble opening my.
All right, I'll give you an example.
Bottled water.
I'll give you an example. The guy who was with me when you saw me last time has probably 20 years in the business on me. Did our styles of delivery seem different?
Totally different.
He's probably more of the old style. You know who I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah.
Depends on the references and like the newer comics, you know, they're all the beard and backpack type of guys.
That's the appearance.
That's the appearance. And some of their stuff is a little, you know, it's not,
well,
a,
not
set,
a fan.
Set up punch.
I'm very set up punch.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Yeah. A lot of the new style is not set up punch. I think a lot of the new style stinks, but that's just a generation gap on my part, you know? You know, so that's actually not, it's a critique, but it's also my problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, me too.
So, anyway, but I did not real. What is it? This is really hard to do because I don't, you know, I go into this type of room because it's foreign kid. It's like, how useful is this to my career?
It's a good exercise. I mean,
I understand.
But if you're in town and you're doing it,
yes.
If you went there just to do the gig, fuck that shit.
Right.
But if you're in town. You know what? We're in town to work on stuff. Let me do this just in case I have a show where I have this kind of crowd come in, and I'll try to figure out how to handle a crowd. You know, that's what you do. You always try to figure out how to handle certain audiences.
A lot of my act has to do at least on some level of Western culture references or current events.
Right.
So to do this gig, I really have to. I had to think of jokes I don't do anymore. Because it used to be more of a generic style, I did.
Right.
So I had some free time in between shows, so I agreed to do the show. As I'm going up the elevator to do the show, I run into the comic who booked me. He's on the way out.
Right.
He's on his way to sell a bicycle.
Wow.
He's on his way to sell a bicycle. He tells me.
What is he, 12?
No, he fixes up bicycles and sells them.
I don't know.
Fucking interview him, Joe. We can get him on the show.
I don't know. It just seems odd. I'm going to go sell a bicycle. You know, how many people? I'm going to go sell a bicycle.
It's somebody you know, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know who it is.
Let's see. Look how that happens.
All right. Tell him I said hi.
I'll get right on that. Right now. Let me take a break so I can do that. Asshole. So he tells me he should be back in 5 minutes. I'm like, okay. So I go up, and I'm standing in the back of the room, and there's no other comedians there. There's one comedian on stage, no other comedians
there. Now, what do you mean? Are there other artists there, like a poet or a guitar player?
No. It's the comic on stage. Okay. I walk in, and four audience members.
Okay.
Oh, my.
Yes, right. Exactly. So I'm sitting in the background. The comedian's talking to them about how she used to pull her pubic hair out in a parking lot.
Yeah, and that's the shit that's getting on Comedy Central now. That I got to come home from a turnaround and listen to and wonder what the fuck am I doing wrong?
You're not pulling your pubic hairs out in a parking lot. Glad I can solve that problem for you. So aggressively watch porn and start ripping out your pubic hairs in the parking lot. And I've solved all your issues.
Noted, sir. Maybe I'll get off by Monday.
Sure. This is what happens when you show up close to start time. I solve your problems. But, I mean, she's likable enough, but it's a struggle. They're not really understanding it. So I check my Facebook messages, and the comic who booked me tells me to give her the light. And so I give her the light, and she brings me up without an intro because she doesn't know what the fuck's going on. So some jokes okay, but in front of four people, the difference between a joke working and not working is minimal at best.
Right, half and half.
Yeah, well, that'd be two and four.
50.
So I figure I'll do some stuff about the holiday since that's pretty universal.
Right.
So I'm getting a quiz.
Holiday?
What?
What holiday?
I'll get there. Holidays.
Oh, holidays. I thought you said holiday, singular.
No.
Holidays. All right. Very good.
So I'm getting quizzical looks, so I need to find out why and who my audience is. So my audience is a British guy named Johnny, a Muslim guy from Algeria, a hot female accountant from Argentina, and a guy from New Mexico.
Walk into a bar together.
Or in this place, a hostel. The Algerian not understanding the Easter joke makes sense to me because he's Muslim. The Argentina girl is kind of lost because her English is not great, and I'm talking too fast. And as Pip has told me and other people have, I do that even for our American audience.
I've told you that.
Yeah, a lot of people do. And that's just because if I keep on talking, I figure we'll be done with it. But it doesn't work out that way.
No, because you walk on some lines.
Yes. The guy from New Mexico seems to like it, and Johnny from England pretty much thinks Easter is bollocks.
Oh,
that's
great.
A good round fucking. That's a good fucking synopsis of everybody's opinion. And bollocks is bullock. That could be. Oh God!
I give him shit for the same. What?
I totally know the type that you're talking about just from that phrase.
Well, you're going to England in a couple months. Make sure you kick them all in the nuts for me.
I will.
Thank you. So I give him shit for this by saying this is why we had to kick your ass in the war. He goes, England and America never have been in a war. This is what he said. Thank you, Joe. That's the Joe's head whipped around. He was absolutely right. Yes.
I've never been in a war.
I remind him of the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812.
Yeah.
I'm well versed on my English-British wars. So I do some dating material, and I tell the girl that in our country, accountants don't look like her. They look like me, but bald. I mean, this girl's fucking smoking.
Right.
Since Johnny's from England, I point out that I'm wearing a Paul McCartney shirt. Hey, a little common ground.
Right.
And I happen to be wearing a Paul McCartney. What?
Trying.
Yeah. He's not impressed.
No, of course not.
He calls McCartney a tit.
You know what? You're fighting me. You got like you're in a fucking London pub, and meanwhile you're on 43rd Street in town. You know, hey, I need this shit.
Pretty much.
Really?
I've never heard a man called a tit before. I tell him I'm confused.
Oh, they do.
Well, but I tell him I'm confused. I go, men love tits. At this point, the comic who booked me has come on and agreed that McCartney is good. But you know, the British guy says, well, he's like an old saggy tit.
Oh, boy.
The guy who booked me showed up. I had enough. I thank them for listening, and I bid them adieu.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is doing for me comedically.
You learned what a soggy tit is.
There's that show.
I'm trying to make lemonade, dude.
What'd you say, Pip?
This just shows the attitude of some people. You're a fucking Beatle. That's still not good enough.
Right.
Yeah, but you want to know, so how old was this guy?
Probably his 20s.
20s, he could give a shit less about. The Beatles don't mean a damn thing to him the way it means to us. You know?
No, I know. I understand that, but there's some things that should be eternal. And
yes. You want to know something? Well, how about when your parents would play a Sinatra record? Really? Really? What is this shit? You know?
Oh, I know.
You know? It's the same thing.
That's true with music.
So... my final show was at the Broadway Comedy Club. I was closing the show.
Wait, there's more.
I was closing the show, which means I won't be going on until 12:30 at the earliest, mm-hmm. So I had a couple of hours to kill. I was supposed to meet up with Roger, but he did not pick up the phone. Turns out he fucking fell asleep. Of course he did. So I got some candy. I got myself some
candy. That's all you can do.
Yes, I ate the pain away.
That's all you can do.
And this is why the working out doesn't look like it should.
For your management, I'm on the phone. Call me right now.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what? I'm getting fucking candy.
Yeah.
I fell asleep in a park one time.
Pulling out pubic hairs. So I wander over to Broadway. My friend Doug was hosting. He said he tried to get me up earlier than closing, but somebody good had to be willing to switch. So while I'm waiting there, I run into Catherine, who is the pubic hair comic from the Hostel show.
It's like an episode of Crashing.
Yeah, the one who I walked in and she was talking about the pubic hairs being ripped out.
Right, but I'm saying it's the Hostel show.
Yes, Pip. Anyway.
All right, well then.
She's talking to some of the other comedians, but I wasn't really quite sure what they were talking about. It turns out she's the manager of an S&M dungeon.
Really?
Look, Joe's interest has been piqued.
That's an S&M dungeon.
You know, the pulling out the pubic hair in a public space is making more sense now.
It is.
At least she's got something to fall back on.
Well, we don't need a date program.
I'm not really a comic. I run an S&M dungeon.
Why not?
Why not? Right. In the city, it's like, and the funny thing is, you'll sit there and go, I'm not batting an eyelash at this. Yes. And then you go, at my age, I'm in the city, and I'm not batting an eyelash at this. Is there a fucking problem here?
Well, wait, there's more.
Okay, I'm here.
So somehow I get to, well, you wanted the story. You're getting the story.
We're all there. I'm sure Pip is, too.
Somehow I got sucked into the
I am all in.
What?
I am all in.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I felt something.
Funny.
So I get sucked into conversation, and there's some people who have sexual fetishes, which apparently I don't completely grasp. It turns out these S&M performers get $80 an hour. That I grasp. The clients at this place are predominantly old white guys. So Catherine was talking about how these guys wanted the S&M performers to crap and pee on them.
Ugh.
Oh.
Well, to get that reaction to Pip, who does that to herself, is saying a lot. Or eat their crap and pee.
That's
no,
disgusting.
No,
what?
No.
Why am I even saying that's disgusting? Like, it's my opinion.
Well, it is. And it's one I agree with.
It's a shared one by pretty much most of humanity.
Sleepy eye shit eater.
Yeah.
So, or they put their crap and pee into expensive cakes and eat it. So they'll
expensive
go,
cakes.
So they'll go to the
boy Fudgy the Whale. Yeah, really.
More or less. So they'll go to this place called Magnolia Bakery, which is a really expensive bakery, and then they'll have the girls like piss or poop in it and eat it.
Why would you just get an expensive cake? Why would you just get like an Entenmann's?
Because you deserve the best.
All right, can you shit in this Danish, please? There's a ring. Use it as a toilet. You know?
They're telling me this. I go, is that chocolate? No, it's Jennifer. So, you know.
Oh my God. Well, wait a minute. Was it a prune Danish?
Funny. We'll give you that. Right. We slinked a bean your way.
So I riffed some lines that Catherine really liked, and she was kind enough to ask me if she could use them. I told her I'd have to scrap my 5 minutes closing bit on being shit on, but sure, she could have it.
Yeah.
So she said she has a lot more stories and be willing to come onto the show.
Oh, my God, yes.
Wow. There was no hesitation.
Holy cow.
She's never been so excited for anything.
Dabin and I are looking at each other. Well, let's see. Yes, yes, get her on. Right, all right. Slow down.
Like, I don't know. Is that where our show goes?
Just for the story. I mean, we had Ron Jeremy on.
He's famous.
Listen, that many hits from people watching me lick Joe's foot. They are definitely going to tune in for this show.
How many people did we get for that?
A lot. But wait,
I didn't know that.
But will you be willing to eat some shit, Pip? Because I'm sure we could get some hits for that.
No, I am absolutely not going to eat shit.
How about if Joe steps in some shit? Will you lick his foot?
Well, Joe steps in shit like on the regular, so that's part of our storytelling. I eat shit on the show all the time. That's why I'm in the barrel a lot. Let's let this lady keep part as her.
I second the motion.
So you want her on the show?
Why not?
It really takes the show down a hole. That we've never really ventured down before.
We will have. But the stuff we talk about, one minute, I mean, we had that political discussion. Now we're talking about this is what the show's all about.
I don't know if it's about eating shit.
But, you know, something different.
It is different.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's not like
not
we do it every week.
The shit show.
All right.
Bring her on.
But fine. But if I'm going to bring her on, you assholes got to be here on time.
All right, somebody's got to go eat shit somewhere. We understand that.
She's a manager. She's not a shit eater or a shit maker. She's management.
Oh, she okay? They don't lower themselves to that.
Well, yeah. So I guess we'll try to get her on. All right. So nobody would switch with me. So I went on around 12:35. Nobody left who came in. Usually people like start to leave.
Right.
Nobody left.
And what night was this?
This was Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
So usually in those, so I mixed in material with crowd work and good old fashioned rant on an audience member
because
I was doing my joke about guns, and I talk about how it's men that walk into these churches and schools and malls and they shoot people and not women. And so one woman goes, "Well, there was the YouTube shooter." Sure, I just fucking ranted on her about that. You know, oh, is this your fucking Me Too stand right here? We can shoot people too. Is this what you're doing? They fucking like that rant. I was in no mood after you know the fucking night I had.
Yeah,
I could not let that lie.
I got it.
But
she had no idea what was coming.
No, they never do. But they loved it. Some said it was their first comedy show and they'd be back, and a lot of compliments, which was nice to close a topsy-turvy. Like, by the time I got to that last show, I was just like, fucking balls to the wall.
Right.
Let's go. Enough of this shit. So after the show, I'm talking to the self-professed anarchist and communist.
Okay.
You look at me like that's normal.
In the city, yeah.
So he asked me about
you just had a woman that runs a dungeon where they shit on fancy cakes, and you're running into an anarcho. Wow, an anarcho, really? Look at who you were just bullshitting with.
All right, you got a point. You're on the game tonight, Joseph. You're making some sense. Can't argue with that again. So he asked me about So he asked me about getting into comedy. I'm like talking to him. He asked me about comedy. I said, well, comedy has rules, so you better be willing to listen to rules, which flies in the face of anarchy.
Right.
He said, that's a misconception about anarchy, there are rules. There is just no leader. I said, oh, yeah? Then who enforces the rules?
Yeah, really?
Now he's a conservative. I probably made the guy conservative.
So I stumped him with that one.
That's funny.
He also told me he's a weed farmer. So I said, oh, yeah, you're not a communist. You're a capitalist.
Yeah. Unless you give the weed away.
Exactly. I go, it always comes down to
money. Yeah, right.
Money.
You sell the pot? Yeah. Well, what do you do with the money? I fucking keep it. Then you ain't a communist.
Exactly.
You're an economist.
So I thought you would appreciate that.
Hysterical.
Me setting an anarchist and a communist, a lefty straight Joe.
God damn it. Enough, boy.
Enough of these reds.
Funny.
All right. That's enough for now. Let's take a break. On the break, we got music from The New Realm with Troublemaker and Jamming's Macaw with Trot It Through. And you can learn more about them at Deuce Music. And then we come back. A School of Fools. That should be interesting. A professor ranted on Barbara Bush, the late Barbara Bush.